regard to that.
In regards to what Amos said earlier, about most good many Christians, Christendom, believes the end of life is death, unscriptural. I know my wife, her body died. He buried it. What about her soul and spirit? Mm-hmm. We have a term in 1 Thessalonians 3 of 4. Let's see. Where it speaks something to us. Yeah, in verse 14. In verse 14. Also, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, not died, with Jesus. For this we say unto you in the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who remain in the coming of the Lord, and know it and anticipate that those who fall asleep. So if the believer, soul and spirit go asleep in Jesus, they don't die. The body dies, that's correct. That's all.
Forgetting Christ, go back to Adam. Those put to sleep by Jesus from Pentecost to the rapture. But they'll all be dead in Christ if they have to pass away. But it's good the scripture tells us that. Forgetting Christ, but those put to sleep by Jesus will also be there in that group. Just to make the differentiation.
And in 1 Corinthians 15, it speaks of they that are Christ that is coming. And I don't think we can exclude the Old Testament saints from that. They're truly Christ also. They've been purchased by his blood.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon, Abner, Queen of Sheba, possibly King Nebuchadnezzar. Christ died for them. It says they were redeemed. God held back their sins until redemption could be accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Romans 3:25 tells us that. So all Old Testament believers were redeemed by Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So they'll be there. I told someone one time Adam and Eve were saved. They were. Eve said to God, and her name wasn't Eve, her name was Adam. When she got saved, Adam changed her name to Eve. She's the mother of all living. Prior to that, her name was Adam. Okay? The serpent beguiled me, but I did eat, I did sin. Adam says, the woman thou gavest me, gave me, but I did eat, I did sin. What did God do? He killed the animals and the blood was shed and clothed them in the coats of those skins. So we'll meet Adam and Eve in heaven.
What would tend to confirm that, Brother Bob, is that in the book of Revelation, we have the heavenly company throughout under the figure of the 24 elders. But when it comes to the marriage of the Lamb, the wife has made herself ready. And so we have the wife, but then we have the friends of the bridegroom. So that would distinguish the assembly from the Old Testament saints and from those other families that you've spoken about.
See, John the Baptist wasn't a Christian. He was the last Old Testament prophet. The Lord and the prophets were till John. Grace and truth came to our Lord Jesus. But he's a friend of the bridegroom. None greater than John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Who can compare?
So it would be appropriate to say, and correct to say, that when the Lord comes for us, the church, it is going to include the resurrection of Old Testament saints at that very moment as well. They will be with us in heaven, not in the same classification, but they will be there. And as we've said, they will observe the marriage of the bride and the groom. I wanted to ask, you know, there was a comment earlier about this expression, receive you. It says receive you. And a brother gave the example of being at the airport and waiting for somebody to pick you up and then to take you somewhere. And I just wondered if there was some more on that expression that the Lord Jesus says in John 14, I will receive you. I think there's a lot in that those words, meaning what he will do for us.
Do you think, I was just thinking that we've already transitioned a little bit into 1 Thessalonians, and he does explain it more there. Paul, the Apostle Paul in chapter 4, gives us a further explanation. But I was thinking too that this truth was being taught in the first century. Believers at that time were being taught to expect the coming of the Lord. Maybe we can discuss some of that as well at this point in time.
Brother Sam, I just want to say something back to the promise. Because there's a lot of things that has been uttered. We're going to go through it later on with the sessions.
But it's important to understand that the promise of his coming directly from the Lord himself is approximately 7 times in the scripture, from the mouth of the Lord himself. And that is very unique because it comes only from the Apostle of John, one that have enjoyed intimacy and who can be at the breast of the Lord Jesus, is the one who received this revelation directly from the mouth of the Lord himself. And that's why when the Lord spoke about his coming, and when we say that his promise, his coming is imminent, well, thank God for the apostles that have spoken about his coming, but it came from his blessed mouth 7 times. Twice, I would suggest, in the Gospel of John, and approximately around 5 times in the book of Revelation. But brethren, never lose sight of this, that when he uttered the promise of his coming in relationship for his own, and I think the question of Brother Samuel, see it in 1 Thessalonians 4 in a bigger scope, because there's 3 elements there. But when he spoke about it, the first thing he brings us into is the Father's house. And I want to suggest this to you. Why would he is the one who's going to receive. He is the one who is looking for it. Because in the Father's house is ever from eternity to the eternity is the intimacy that Christ shared with his blessed Father. So when the Lord Jesus brings this thought of his coming in relationship to the Father's house, you know what Christ has in mind? That we, through the endless ages of eternity, might enjoy same intimacy with the blessed Father. And how wonderful it is that when he promised about his coming, he doesn't have in mind first to deliver us from this coming wrath and to bring us and to change. This is all going to take place. But in his blessed mind, he brings us to the finality of God's thoughts that we will ever be in the presence of the blessed Father and himself and enjoy intimacy that this world will never, ever understand. That's why he is coming to receive his own.
Brother John, could I just follow up and ask a question?
Yes.
You just raised the issue. In Revelation chapter 22, it says about 3 times, verse 7, verse 12, and is it verse 20? Surely I am coming quickly. Every time that it is mentioned about it's coming quickly. My question is it in relation to time that he's coming quickly, or is it in relation to when he comes, he's going to come fast? Or is it both?
Well, he doesn't measure time as we measure time. So 2,000 years is a very short time.
Right.
But also, I think when he comes, it'll be
right.
Like a twinkling of an eye.
Reading of an eye.